Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parable of the Barren Fig Tree. At least three times the Lord Jesus taught his disciples and the crowds using the fig tree as his illustration or parable. The parable of the barren fig tree, found only in the Gospel of Luke, is a call to repentance and fruitfulness. The incident of the withered fig tree, recorded in Mark's Gospel, is used to challenge the disciples to faith. Finally, the Lord uses the parable of the budding fig tree to call his disciples to watchfulness and readiness for their Lord's return. We look first at the parable of the barren fig tree, the verses leading up to the parable, and the parable itself. Luke chapter 12, verse 54, to chapter 13, verse 9. English Standard Version. He also said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud arising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make every effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny." And there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, these 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway Bibles, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. The Parable of the Barren Fig Tree, Parva Press. The difficult verses leading up to the parable. From verse 54 of chapter 12, Luke records the Lord's teaching directed to the great crowds who flocked to him. Each of the brief sections is an aspect of his great call to repentance before Almighty God, our ultimate judge. Jesus began with the weather, always at the forefront of our minds. His hearers were well able to see that if the wind was blowing from the west over the Mediterranean, it would bring rain. But if it was blowing from the south, over the deserts, the weather would be hot and dry. Yet they could not see the historic times in which they were living. Blind, deaf, and dumb people were being healed. Spiritually imprisoned people were being released, and poor people were having good news proclaimed to them. Yet they could not, or would not, see that here, standing before them, was the fulfilment of the promise of God given by the prophets, the long-promised Son of David, the Anointed One of God, their long-sought Messiah. Neither could they see that his presence among them marked the approach of the day of the Lord, the judgment of Almighty God, judgment that would begin with the rebellious house of Israel, as Rome crushed Jerusalem and dispersed the Jews among the nations, and it will finally fall on the whole unbelieving world. The second scene is that of a debtor having to go to court. His case is hopeless. He will lose the case and then be thrown into jail until the debt is fully paid. His plight is desperate. His only hope is to settle with the man to whom he owes so much before he gets to court. Here is our Lord's brief, yet vivid, picture of his hearers, and of our, standing before Almighty God. Hence the wisdom of pleading for mercy, now, before it's too late. There was no television, radio, or newspaper in our Lord's day, so every fresh event caused a buzz by word of mouth. Have you heard? And, of course, an opinion added. Referring to two horrible pieces of current news involving sudden deaths, Jesus gave a repeated warning that unless his hearers repented, a similar terrible fate awaited them. You will likewise perish. Each disaster is not just a fresh piece of news to talk about, but a wake-up call, a warning of the urgent need to repent. Although some commentators separate the parable of the fig tree from the teaching that Luke has recorded just before it, it seems that the parable of the barren fig tree fills out this call for repentance. As G. Campbell Morgan says, it is a parable showing that the judgments of God are rooted in righteousness, the rights of the proprietor, and that the judgments of God are exercised always in infinite patience. The owner of the vineyard was acting with absolute justice in sweeping away the fruitless tree he had planted. And so, I'm afraid that this parable is not the pretty story we might have liked, but a solemn warning to nations, to churches, as well as to individuals like you and me, that unless we repent and prove fruitful before him, we shall likewise perish. The details of the parable itself. The fig tree of Jesus' parable was a choice tree, actively planted in the owner's vineyard. It was not a wayside, self-set tree, growing from a pip casually dropped along some public way. The owner naturally expected fruit, and gave the tree 3 years beyond the normal fruit-bearing age in which to prove itself. However, there was still no evidence of fruit. For some reason, it seemed that it was not going to prove a fruitful tree, and so the most appropriate thing to do was to get rid of it. It was only using up space, water, and nutrients, and preventing the planting of other more useful things. Although the judgment was richly deserved, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? The vine dresser pleads for the owner to give the fig tree one more opportunity. He does not plead for the fig tree to be kept forever, as it's so attractive with its distinctively large leaves, adding charm to the vineyard and useful for shade, but simply for one last chance to bear fruit before the owner cuts it down. Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. The vine dresser undertakes to give the tree the best possible opportunity to bear fruit. By digging around it, he may well have intended to prune its roots, for perhaps the tree had grown too lush and comfortable to fruit. It is well known that fig tree roots need to be constrained in some way to encourage fruitfulness. So, digging around it would be a wake-up call to fruitfulness. A fruitfulness strongly encouraged and enabled by the manure placed over the remaining roots. Is there any significance in the little detail of who will cut down the tree if it fails yet again? The owner said, cut it down. The vine dresser, pleading for one more year, concludes, then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. Scholars debate. But ultimately, it is the owner's decision either way, and it would fall to the vine dresser to put that decision into practice. Eastern owners do not personally cut down, or probably more accurately, dig up trees. Like so many of his other parables, Jesus leaves the parable open-ended. We do not know whether the owner granted the vine dresser's request, or whether or not the tree responded with fruitfulness. However, it is clear that even if, in mercy, the owner agrees to one more chance, a stay of execution, he will not tolerate forever a fruitless tree using up the ground in his vineyard.